Hello, this is Jeff Buckles with the Two Roads and Two Destinies Ministries. We're in Genesis chapter 29. We have looked at the life, some of Jacob. We've seen how now his uncle has begun to teach him a lesson on being sneaky and how to supplant people, how to take away what's theirs. And rather than just take away belongings and future things, he's taken away the youth of Jacob in labors and in works. And in working in the field. And we're going to see now that he's going to continue to teach Jacob for quite a while yet. It's been 14 years now. And we're going to be looking sort of back and forth inside of this timeline. Okay? Inside of this timeline of when Laban is working for... Jacob's working for Laban to earn his wives, if you will. And all these events that we're about to read about are going to be happening in this timeline and in the 6 years that follow that. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given it to us, Lord. You said your word is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Father, it's able to divide the soul from the spirit, the bone from the marrow, the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Father, we pray today that your word would show us the thoughts and the intents of the heart of man, how that we are desperately wicked. Our heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it, Father? That we have deceived our own selves, Father, in thinking that we would be right in any other way than through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray today that you'd show us this example. That be sure your sins shall find you out, as it holds true in Jacob's life, Father, through his uncle Laban, as he teaches him this lesson, and as you teach it to them both, Father. So, Father, we do thank you that we have these to look at, and we're not left without hope. Father, we do thank you again for our Lord Jesus Christ, for his death, burial, and resurrection on our account. Amen. Now, Jacob has came, running from Esau, going to find him a wife, has found him two wives and his cousins, Leah and Rachel. And his uncle Laban has worked out a deal with him where he would work 7 years, but he got cheated and he got the oldest daughter first. Now he has to work seven more for the one who he really was in love with, Rachel, who we said was a fox, and Leah was a plain kind of woman. But we're going to look now at verse 30 of chapter 29, and Jacob went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet seven other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, and Rachel was barren. Let me stop before we go any farther. You have to remember, what was the promise that God had given to Abraham? It was, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. It was also this: your seed shall be as the sand upon the seashore and as the stars in heaven, so shall your seed be. If you can number the stars in the heavens, then you'll be able to number your children. And the unique thing about this is we have the Hubble telescope today, and rather than being able to finally count all the stars, we're still finding new galaxies of stars that we can't even count the stars in the galaxies, because we live in the Milky Way galaxy, and we can't even count all those stars with the computer technology that we have today. But we look out, and we see another galaxy hundreds of millions of miles away, and there's no way we can begin to count the stars in that. And this was the promise to Abraham. This is how many children you're going to have. And Jacob realized this, so we realize also that the blessing was children. This blessing was going to be part of the blessing that God was given, was going to be children. And you also have to remember, it's the blessing for the Jewish people in particular that was that they would have the fruit of the womb. We see that especially in the book of Ruth and the blessing that's on Naomi and Ruth that they give to them. But we see here that now God saw that Jacob didn't love Leah like he did Rachel, and he opened Leah's womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath now looked upon my affliction, now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he has therefore given me this son also, and she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons, therefore his name was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called the name, his name Judah, and left barren. Leah doesn't just have one child. When the Lord opened her womb, he really opened her womb. She has Reuben. Now, notice the importance of this. He is the firstborn. His very name is in the explanation here, that the Lord has looked upon and heard her affliction, and her husband would now love her. But the firstborn was going to receive the double portion, if you remember, in the promises. This is what Jacob had stolen from Esau, this double portion, this blessing, this inheritance. Well, she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord has heard that I was hated, he has given me this son also, and she called his name Simeon. So now she has Reuben and Simeon. Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob. This is so very important. Let's not miss this point. Leah has Jacob's firstborn child. This puts her in a place of prominence. She is also the first wife of Jacob. Regardless of whether he was in love with Rachel more or not, the place of blessing is with Leah. We're going to find out that when Jacob dies and he's buried, guess who is buried with him in the sepulcher of his fathers? Not Rachel, but Leah. Leah, this plain woman. I think we see in her a type of the woman with the meek and the quiet and the humble spirit which God speaks of in the New Testament. The woman who is blessed of God. The woman who has this spirit, it says, is of great price in the sight of God. We see this in Leah, I do believe. I believe she's a real picture of that. Though she may not have been beautiful, she may not have been a well-favored woman such as Rachel. Maybe she didn't fix herself up like Rachel, as we read in 1 Peter, whose adorning let it not be with that of costly apparel, of braided hair, of gold, and being all made up, but let it be the inward woman of the heart, of that meek and quiet and humble spirit. Though Leah may not have looked as good as Rachel, she was in the place of blessing. And I say this really to encourage a lot of ladies out there today, women who or maybe discouraged because they have read the scriptural account of what a woman should be like, and they find that the whole world is against this today. Well, I'll tell you what, if you'll be obedient to what the scripture says that a woman should be, then you'll be in the place of blessing of God. Now, you may not see the blessing of God to be a worldly blessing. Let me explain that quickly. You may not have a lot of things, but I tell you what, you'll have a posterity. You'll have a good name. You'll have hope for heaven, for even your family. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. But if you live the Christian life before your husband, as God says to in a meek, and a, he says your husband will be won by your conversation, that is your manner of life, not by your words. Let me encourage you today that a woman that does what God says to do in His scriptures is a woman of blessing. She is a blessing not only to herself, she is a blessing to all those round about her, all those who know her, all those who have anything to do with her and come in contact with her, and those who don't even know her will be blessed from her very life. Her children rise up and call her blessed, it tells us in Proverbs chapter 30, I believe it is. She is a woman of God. And we cannot begin to convince you of the importance of this. We have already said that Leah's son, Judah, and we've mentioned his name here, was the one who was going to be the father of who? Ultimately, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was through Judah that King David was going to come. It was through Judah that the blessing was going to come, the son. And whose mother was Judah? Leah, the plain woman, the one who Jacob didn't love. Maybe your husband doesn't love you today, and you're living that Christian life as best as you can, and you're suffering through this. And you're asked, crying out to God and saying, God, where is the blessing in all this? Well, you know what? Leah didn't have any idea of what Judah was going to be the father of in the long run. She had no idea that he was going to be the father of that king, David. Had she known, surely her outlook on life might have been different, but she never knew in this lifetime. As a matter of fact, if you look at the life of Judah, he wasn't a righteous man. But God had chosen him for this blessing. God sees and hears and knows. Let's never be discouraged about that. And I just try to give that word of encouragement to the ladies out there who are trying to live this Christian life and are trying to be living in an humble and a meek and a quiet spirited way. And the whole world cries out to them, don't you know you need to be liberated? And they say in their heart, we are at liberty in Christ. There is no freedom greater than the freedom that Christ gives to us. I tell you today that the women who have gotten out from under the yoke, as it were, and I use that carefully, the women who have went out and got into the full women's lib and says, we're going to rule the world, if you will. Well, if you'll watch TV and you notice all these free women are being used by men to do commercials, and it's sexually explicit, if you will, and they're just using these women. I'll tell you right now, the freedom that women have is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no freedom outside of Him, and there is no freedom outside of obedience to the Word of God. All other is bondage. Living for the devil is bondage. Living under the law is bondage. You must submit to Him and obey Him and turn to Him today. Well, we're out of time. I hope it's been some kind of an encouragement to those who are trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ today. My prayer is that you will trust Him today if you have not. This is Jeff Buckles with the Two Roads of Two Destinies Ministry saying goodbye.
Thank you, Jeff. If you have any comments or questions, please call us this week at 879-5695. We would be surely encouraged to try to encourage you in the things of the Lord. So we also have a P.O. Box if you'd rather write us. That is P.O. Box 689 in Ramsour, North Carolina. If you have any comments or questions, this is Mike Moody along with Jeff.